My dad works in B2B marketing, but I never really knew what that meant. Then one day, my dad came by my school for career day and told everyone in my class he was a big MQL man. Then he just kept saying things like, the more MQLs, the better, over and over. My friends still laugh at me to this day. I think it means marketing qualified lead. One thing's for sure, I'll be known as the MQL man's kid for the rest of my days. Why couldn't you just be a fireman or a lawyer? Why? You ruined my life, Dad.
Not everyone gets B2B, but LinkedIn has the people who do. And with ads on LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people based on job title, industry, likelihood to buy, and more. Start converting your B2B audience into high-quality leads today. We'll even give you a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/customer to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/customer. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
It's time for today's Lucky Land horoscope with Victoria Cash.
Life's gotten mundane, so shake up the daily routine and be adventurous with a trip to Lucky Land. You know what they say, your chance to win starts with a spin. So go to LuckyLandSlots.com to play over 100 social casino-style games for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Get lucky today at LuckyLandSlots.com.
Available to players in the U.S., excluding Washington and Michigan. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void or prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Can you imagine a world where every move you make is watched, it's controlled, it's restricted? Sort of like what you might have heard about or remembered about communism. Maybe you remember a time when Germany was divided down the middle by what was called the Iron Curtain. Well, welcome to a new era of what's shaping up to be the digital equivalent, or a digital Iron Curtain. The Iron Curtain is being built as we speak and is ready to go into place, and it could have the exact same disastrous effects that the previous Iron Curtain had, only this time it could last much longer because the cost, we would call it the return on violence, is lower. We're going to break this down for you. We're going to talk about what is going on with this digital Iron Curtain. What's going on? Why would they want something like this? How we can, well, we'll look at the historical parallels. We'll look at how we can see this Iron Curtain being built right now in front of us, what the battleground is, and what we can do about it. We're going to cover a whole lot of ground here. If you just tune in, you're listening to The Mark Moss Show. We're always talking about the decentralized revolution, how the world is changing as we look at it through the lens of politics, finance, and technology. And boy, oh boy, is politics, finance, and technology converging right now. And in this story, we're going to break it down. It is very, very important. All right, so let's talk about, first of all, this Iron Curtain. I'm not sure who you are, where you are, how old you are, and if you remember what the Iron Curtain is. We're talking about the original one in Europe, right? It was really split Berlin down in Germany, split it right down the middle. You know, real quickly, I remember as a kid growing up hearing about this. And I remember hearing how like the Iron Curtain was like almost just like put up overnight, and how all of a sudden people couldn't go from the east side to the west side anymore. And I can remember still like as a kid thinking like, oh my gosh, like what if I was at my friend's house spending the night and then all of a sudden I couldn't get back across the wall? And again, like this just shows to me anyway, it highlights the type of education I received and kids like in my age group grew up with versus today, where most kids don't even probably know about the Iron Curtain or understand that. In my opinion, I think the Iron Curtain is one of the best examples that really highlights that ideology is more important than geology. So we talk about the United States is blessed because of the landmass that we have and the arable land and blah, 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 surrounded by two oceans and all this, compared to other countries, for example. But what we can see is that it's ideology, it's ideas, it's the way that we think changes things more than the geography or where we're at. And so, like I said, Germany is like the best example of this because you took the same country, the exact same geography with the exact same people, whatever you want to call it, the same race, the same religion, the same culture, same everything, identical. mean, this couldn't be a better A-B test. South and North Korea, I guess, is also pretty good as well. And that's still going on. But basically, you had this country, and then you just put a line down the middle, and one side had a different ideology than the other side. One side went socialist, communist, state-controlled, centrally planned. Let's call it centrally planned. These words get very convoluted. You know, socialism, fascism, communism, what's the difference? They're all state-controlled, state-planned, demand economies, as we'd call them. The other side, the other ideology was democracy, capitalism, or freedom, if you will. So non-state-owned or controlled. So these are the two ideologies that we had. All right. Now, this the Iron Curtain really was popularized by Winston Churchill back then in 1946. And basically what happened during that time is that this Iron Curtain started kind of opening up across the European continent. And it was basically separating the communist, the Soviet-controlled East from the freedom, democratic West. Now, the Iron Curtain at the time, it symbolized, like I said, this ideological conflict, but it was also a physical boundary. So it was a physical boundary that then split these ideologies in two separate areas. Now, this was at the end of World War II in 1945 until the end of the Cold War in 1991. All right. Now, this divided Europe. And it wasn't, like I said, just a physical barrier, which it was. It was a physical barrier. So it had fortifications, had fences, it had armed guards, it had all those. But it was the ideological division between communism and democracy that did that. And basically, if we want to look at it in the terms of how we're using this as the new type of Iron Curtain, the digital Iron Curtain, is it restricted movement and freedom. Okay, that's what the Iron Curtain did. It restricted freedom of movement, and it restricted all those things. It separated families. Like I said, I was afraid of that when I was a kid. It limited trade. It stifled cultural exchanges. And we can see that between the two, these ideologies led to two different outcomes, right? These restrictions on freedoms, these ideologies created two different outcomes for the exact same population, the exact same race, the exact same culture, the exact same everything. And that's exactly what we're seeing today. We are seeing this digital Iron Curtain going today that is separating us in whatever country you're in the United States, and separating us, the same country, the same culture, raised on the same things, and now it's separating us into two different ideological camps. So we have the same geography, but now we have two different ideologies. And I'm afraid history doesn't rhyme or repeat, it rhymes. And I'm afraid these rhymes that we're seeing are going to lead to a very similar thing. Now, we're talking about, again, the digital Iron Curtain, creating digital barriers that will stop financial technology from working, that'll stop news information and media from happening, that'll stop us, our ability to exchange, freely move ideas. And that will include, just like the previous Iron Curtain or on the east side of the Iron Curtain, massive amounts of control, massive amounts of surveillance, massive amount of restrictions, which of course, I mean, even just saying that out loud, I don't know how you think about listening to it, but even just saying that out loud, if you have one side that has massive restrictions on movement, on finances, very restrictive, lots of surveillance, just naturally, you have to understand that that is not going to flourish as much as a free side that allows for creativity and for for freedom, that allows for exchange, free exchange of ideas, that allows feedback loops to happen in real time, allows competition. Think about that. It doesn't take a genius. All you have to do is just think about that a little bit. And like I said, we've seen it throughout history over and over and over again. And really, it's this finance or this digital Iron Curtain is coming to place. It's not just about separating us down our ideological lines and preventing the free flow of information, but also our financial privacy. We have CBDCs coming into place that want to be used as governments, as tools to control, surveil, censor, all of those things. Just like in the Iron Curtain. Now, unfortunately, technology has advanced so much today that it's much easier, much more effective for nations to have this surveillance state, this power and control that they had, they have today than it was in the past. And so I talked about this return on violence, if you will. And so it's like your return. How much do we have to spend and what do we get back? So in the Cold War era, you know, it was expensive. It was hard. It wasn't efficient to run this surveillance state. But today with technology, it costs almost nothing in order to do that. And really, it's the difference of freedom or non-freedom. It's capitalism versus socialism. Again, it's this ideological battle. Capitalism being defined as having private ownership, having my private property, owning the means of my production, right? Having competition and socialism, the other ideology, if you will, again, is state ownership, production in the hands of the state, not having a free market that's able to compete. And of course, competition is what always brings us better products and service and prices. During the Cold War, they predicted that people from the free part would try to get over to the communist controlled part to steal from them because they were going to have so much abundance. It never worked out that way. They didn't have new cars. They didn't have new buildings. The stores fell into disrepair. And it was the people from the communist side that were killed in mass trying to get over to the free side. All the guns and all the barbed wire that was supposed to keep the capitalist people out from coming and pillaging the communist side actually worked to keep the communist side in. That's how it worked. When I grew up, I remember my parents telling me, remember, walls work two ways. They can keep people out, but they also keep people in, which is one of the reasons why I've never been a super big fan of this wall on the southern border. But that's a whole nother story because we have a big problem there as well. If you're just tuning in, you're listening to The Mark Moss Show. We're breaking down this concept of a digital iron curtain that's being erected right now. I'm going to break it down for you, show you what's going on. You don't want to miss it. Don't go away. I'll be right back.
My dad works in B2B marketing. But I never really knew what that meant. Then one day, my dad came by my school for career day and told everyone in my class he was a big MQL man. Then he just kept saying things like, the more MQLs, the better, over and over. My friends still laugh at me to this day. I think it means marketing qualified lead. One thing's for sure. I'll be known as the MQL man's kid for the rest of my days. Why couldn't you just be a fireman or a lawyer? Why? You ruined my life, Dad.
Not everyone gets B2B, but LinkedIn has the people who do. And with ads on LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people based on job title, industry, likelihood to buy, and more. Start converting your B2B audience into high-quality leads today. We'll even give you a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/customer to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/customer. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
AI might be the most important new computer technology ever. It's storming every industry, and literally billions of dollars are being invested. So buckle up. The problem is that AI needs a lot of speed and processing power. So how do you compete without costs spiraling out of control? It's time to upgrade to the next generation of the cloud. Oracle Cloud Infrastructure, or OCI. OCI is a single platform for your infrastructure, database, application development, and AI needs. OCI has 4 to 8 times the bandwidth of other clouds, offers one consistent price instead of variable regional pricing. And of course, nobody does data better than Oracle. So now you can train your AI models at twice the speed and less than half the cost of other clouds. If you want to do more and spend less, like Uber, 8x8, and Databricks Mosaic, take a free test drive of OCI at oracle.com/strategic. That's oracle.com/strategic. Oracle.com/strategic.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
All right, welcome back. If you're just tuning in, you're listening to The Mark Moss Show. We're talking about the digital iron curtain. We're talking about how it is being erected right now today, dividing ideologies, not geography, but ideologies. And I'm afraid it might have the same disastrous outcome as the previous Iron Curtain had, if we don't do something about it. Now, looking at some of the ways that we're already seeing this start to get its footing, if you will, we're going to break it down, and it is gaining steam massively. We're witnessing it over the battleground of Elon Musk and Twitter, and I have a bunch of data to share with you on that. It's pretty scary. But let's go back sort of at the beginning. We're starting to see this now from a financial side. In the United States, the Federal Reserve is already launched their Fed now. It's not a central bank digital currency. It's not a CBDC, but it's a start to that. It's like a quasi semi potential. And it allows the Fed now to have enormous control over the flow of money. So it's not a full CBDC, it's not programmable, and it's not for retail use, but it does give them some of the tools they need for more censorship and control over the money supply 24/7. Now, some of the characteristics are, I guess, the banks can move money faster, like cool for them. But it doesn't really help you and I, which I guess at this point is good. I don't really want that to happen. But what it does do is it centralizes the power of the money. You see, the banking system that we have today is very decentralized, right? We talk about the Fed printing money, but that's not actually how it works. The banks create money when they issue loans. And so I have community banks in my community that can issue me loans. They're creating money and they decide that I, as a local resident, need this money. I have a relationship with them. They know my local area. They decide to give me money. And so it's a very decentralized nature, the way that this banking system works and the money is created. But what they want to do is they want to centralize the control. That's where it starts. So the first thing we have to do is we have to centralize the power, and then we can exert the power. Now, it's not without mentioning that in Karl Marx's book, The Communist Manifesto, he says that there was 10 points in order to have communism. Point number 5 was centralizing the means of credit. So it was creating a central bank and centralizing all the means of credit. So a central bank is a communist idea. We have it in the United States. A lot of people think that the United States capitalism has failed, for example, but we have 7 of the 10 points of communism in the US. So we're more, you know, quantitatively more communist than we would be capitalist from that standpoint. But we want to centralize that. And so the Fed now is a big, big move that starts to get us down that path. Some of the other things that we see is that now with FedNow, it could start to crowd out the private sector. So we could start to lower competition, which then leads to less ingenuity and less price depreciation and things like that. And so that's a really big move. On the other hand, we also have the rise of a new police force. Through Biden's IRA, Inflation Reduction Act, they authorized 87,000 new armed IRS agents to come out and harass you and hang you upside down by your feet and shake the change out of your pockets and take it from you. Any transaction you do over $600, they want to scrutinize. You know, heaven forbid you use Venmo to pay someone for $600 when they send billions and hundreds of billions of dollars overseas with zero accountability. But now they have a new army, 87,000 new armed agents to come. And again, this is expanding the power of the centralized command center, sort of like in East and West Berlin. They had to build this new army to basically shake down and enforce compliance on any activities. Now, of course, this is for your good and your safety because you want people to pay their full taxes, right? I mean, someone's got to pay for the roads, right? Right? I mean, you know, roads were there before the IRS, but, you know, we'll go with that narrative anyway. But they want to continue to have increased enforcement actions. They want auditing capacity, you know, more investigations. I don't know why they need to be armed, but that appears to be the case as well. But they also want increased financial surveillance. And so now they're continuing to pass more and more bills in order to surveil your transactions, not just with the IRS, but all types of data analysis. They passed all types of bills that go into cryptocurrency exchanges, things like that, forced them to give you all their data, which leads to all types of privacy concerns, right? The way that you have this control and power, the centralized state, is by being able to surveil everything. So they need to see everything. They need to see everything. They need to hear everything so they can stop and control everything. And so we have this massive growth in the IRS as well. And then it's even going global, where now they want to have global tax compliance. So now they're trying to put things into place like a global minimum tax. So you can't even leave. Let's just take away the, let's seal off the border to not allow people to leave. So again, we're talking about a digital iron curtain. So like in the previous iron curtain, it prevented movement. The digital iron curtain sort of does the same thing. But it really starts with that stepped up surveillance. The amount of surveillance that the government has. And we've seen, like I said, the massive encroachment into the new form of money, of cryptocurrencies, things like that. We've talked about Operation Choke Point, Operation Choke Point 2.0, where basically the government is trying to stop the flow of money going from the traditional banking system over into the cryptocurrency system. It's very difficult in a lot of cases, depending on your bank. For example, my bank in Puerto Rico won't allow me to wire money to any business related to cryptocurrency. I use a payment company to pay my contractors around the world, and one of my contractors had a corporation with Bitcoin in the name, and when we tried to send them money, just because Bitcoin was in the name, they shut my entire account down. And so this financial system is now being used as a way to control, like an iron curtain, and prevent the flow of money going over into this new system. We have massive amounts of SEC investigations piling up. The SEC's, you know, ramped up its investigations and its enforcement actions against all types of cryptocurrency exchanges, cryptocurrency token projects, things like that. Lawsuits against Ripple, Coinbase, Binance, Kraken, all these things, and a lot of it just kind of comes down to sort of like a shakedown or blackmail, if you will. The SEC went after Kraken and got them to pay them $30 million so they wouldn't come after them. And they paid that protection money. And now the SEC is back trying to get more money. Or look what happened with the SEC and Binance, where supposedly Binance did something illegal. And the head of Binance, CZ, instead of, you know, going to court and going to jail if he did something illegal, instead they just shook him down and made him pay $4 billion, and he was fine. He just paid him off. Now, he did have to step down from his company, but he still kept the ownership. So he literally was a shakedown effort, and he paid $4 billion and he got off. So this is what we're seeing, and not unlike what you saw in the original Iron Curtain, where the government continued to grow. They had to step up the amount of enforcement officers they had. Then they had to continue to enforce more strenuously. They had to have more surveillance, and they had to shake down and control everyone they could to bring more allies onto their side. Now, at that time, they didn't have the technology that we have, and so they basically would make everyone spy on each other. I think it was like one out of six people were basically working for the government as spies at that time, or something crazy like that, because they didn't have the technology. But in today's technology, it's much more efficient. Back to that return on violence. Now, I want to get into the very, very specific ways that this has been put into place. I have about six different specific pieces I want to give you, including what's happening with Twitter right now. I want to break this down so you can actually see this going into place right now. Like, literally, you can see the fence being erected. So I'm going to cover that, but I got to take a very quick break. But don't go away. I'm going to be right back after a quick break. So don't go away. I'll be right back.
Recently, a new client called me and started by saying, "Mr. Morgan, I really need your help, but I'm just a nobody." Those words stunned me, and I immediately called him back. And we're now helping him and his family after a terrible accident. I'm John Morgan of Morgan & Morgan. Everybody who comes to our firm at their time of need is a somebody. I grew up poor, but my grandmother was like a queen to us. At Morgan & Morgan, our goal is to level the playing field for you and your family at your time of need. The insurance company has unlimited money and resources. You need a firm who can fight them toe-to-toe. For right at 30 years, we have fought them in courtrooms throughout America. Our results speak for themselves. And always remember this: everybody is a somebody, and nobody is a nobody. Visit forthepeople.com to learn about our firm, Morgan & Morgan, for the people.
Injured? Visit forthepeople.com for an office near you.
Are you tired of your scented cleaning products smelling and cleaning like meh? Then it's time for an upgrade with the power of Clorox Scentiva. With an uplifting scent that smells like coconut, Clorox Scentiva gives you powerful clean like Clorox, but a feeling like being transported to a tropical island retreat. Imagine putting your phone on Do Not Disturb, tuning out all the constant, just the feeling of warm sand in between your toes and a fruity drink in your hand. The ones with the little umbrella. Refresh your home to feel like an all-inclusive vacation by getting Clorox Scentiva. Also available in grapefruit and lavender scents at a nearby retail store.
Like many of us, you might think identity theft will never happen to you. But consider this. There's a new identity theft victim every 3 seconds in the U.S. That's over 15 million people by the end of this year, equal to the populations of New York, Los Angeles, and Chicago combined. Even worse, identity theft victims often don't even know they're victims. That's why LifeLock Identity Theft Protection alerts you to identity threats, even the ones that don't show up on a credit report, like data breaches, fraudulent bank transactions, loan and credit card applications, and crimes committed in your name. If your identity is stolen, your own dedicated LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will work to fix it. LifeLock protects you in ways that you simply can't on your own. Join now and save up to 25% your first year at LifeLock.com/iHeart. That's LifeLock.com/iHeart to save up to 25%. Identity theft protection starts here.
All right, welcome back. If you just tune in, you're listening to The Mark Moss Show. We're talking about the digital Iron Curtain that's being put up right now, sort of like the Iron Curtain of the Cold War era, but today it's being done digitally, but it's not unlike that, where it's not about geography, it's about ideology separating us. So let's now continue to break down some specific cases. Now, where things really, really, really took a turn for the worse was after the 2001 World Trade Center bombing, and George Bush put together a bill called the Patriot Act. Now, a lot of people remember, never forget, you know, 9/11 and all the people that died. I think about freedom dying, all the freedom that died that day. The Patriot Act was basically the largest bill that was put into place for our freedom, of course, but it gave the government all the tools they needed to intercept and obstruct terrorism. By, of course, spying on us, by taking away our freedoms, by watching everything that we do, expanded the U.S. government's authority to monitor and track, of course, terrorist activities, liberally using that word terrorist, anybody that they want to surveil, they can. And with all of that surveillance then means the loss of your privacy. Now, this increased surveillance powers through this Patriot Act allowed for, of course, more surveillance. So they could look at individuals, the ability to tap your phones, monitor your email communications, access your personal records, all of it without a court order, all of it without consent, taking away the checks and balances that are supposed to be in our system, taking away your privacy. You know, when they expand the surveillance, you don't have privacy anymore. And of course, you know, if you've got nothing to hide, what do you care about, right? What I would say to that is, great, give me your phone. Let me go through your phone. How do you feel about that? Why do you have a door in your bathroom, right? We all need privacy. It's not about doing something wrong. And then of course, with that, we got increase in financial surveillance and control, financial regulations and controls, like we've talked about before, the anti-money laundering AML. Slowing down financial transactions, increasing the costs of financial transactions. With that, we've also seen the rise of lots of other things. But I want to get to some more current things. We have sort of what I'm seeing as, or I'm kind of stating as, Patriot Act 2.0 going into place. And it's really being done under the Biden administration. And now this is not about left or right or blue or red. George Bush was a Republican and he put the Patriot Act in place. Okay. And that was the largest, like I said, loss of our freedoms in one bill. That was done by a Republican, but now we have it been done by the Biden administration. He's a Democrat. It's not about left or right. We'll call it George Bush, just like we're going to call it Biden for this, but he's been mobilizing government agencies to basically take away your freedom and your privacy, just like George Bush did, but even worse. Some of the things that he's done, for example, we saw Rep. Jim Jordan, who almost was elected to the Speaker of the House not too long ago, came out and just broke this entire thing wide open. And really, it started with Twitter. When Twitter was taken over by Elon Musk, he opened up what was called the Twitter Files, which allowed us to see all of the ways, and not just the ways, but the what I like to call the receipts, the smoking guns. We got to see the email communications. We got to see the memos. We got to see exactly how the government was using social platforms like Twitter to control the narrative. And so this broke it wide open. Jim Jordan kind of broke all this open as well. I've talked about this on the show before, but he showed us hundreds, not just one or two, hundreds of secret reports of how Homeland Security, cybersecurity and infrastructure, the GEC, which is the State Department, and Stanford all worked together to censor you and I, censor Americans before the 2020 election, including true information, jokes, opinions, all of that. Now, the federal government disinformation experts at the universities, the big tech, they all work together through something called the EIP, Election Integrity Partnership, to monitor and censor American speech. This was done. We have hundreds and hundreds of documents. This is not open for debate. This is fact. Now, according to one EIP member, they were created at the request of CISA, which is the government. The head of EIP also said that they were created after, quote, working on some monitoring ideas for CISA. So he said, we were created working with CISA. Basically, EIP would analyze any reports that were submitted by the stakeholders. The government would get these reports. They would find similar content across other platforms. And then EIP would submit the report to big tech, Facebook, Twitter, et cetera, with how to censor this. The government, let me repeat that again. The government would give reports to big tech to censor the information they didn't want. Now, who were they censoring? Well, Americans. And it was Americans of all political stripes, but of course it was mostly conservatives because it was the party that was in place. Now, the problem with these technologies is you might be a Democrat or a left or a liberal, and you might like that they censor the conservatives. But what happens if the conservatives get in power and then are able to use that against the Democrats? Then how do you feel about that? But we saw true information, jokes, memes, political opinions all being banned. Now, in the report, we saw the First Amendment to the Constitution limits the government's role in monitoring and censoring American speech, but forget that pesky document. They did it anyway. They did it anyway. Now, we know this. This is fact. As a matter of fact, the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals put an injunction on the Biden administration and said, hey, we see what you're doing. You can no longer do this. And the Biden administration is now appealing that decision. What do you mean you've taken away our right to control social media? We want to do it. So they're actively fighting that. This is not a conspiracy. There's an active case going on about this right now. This is going to the Supreme Court. It's a big deal. All right. Now, this is really gaining steam and really this battleground. So back to sort of like this battleground happened at Twitter because, of course, you know, YouTube and Facebook, they go along with that. As I'm talking about this, I think maybe this is part of the reason why the government's gone after TikTok so hard. Maybe TikTok, being a Chinese company, hasn't allowed them the unprecedented access and censorship ability that YouTube and Facebook has done. That's speculation on my part. I don't have any fact to back that up. But we do have fact to see how the EIP's, quote, misinformation analysts would basically scour the internet for examples of censorship. They would submit them. And then the government would tell them to censor them, and they would, right? Now, this was a massive, massive deal. They would suspend accounts. They would ghost them, if you will, like take away their discoverability, if you will. Sometimes they'd stop it for 12 hours. Sometimes they'd stop it for longer. They would prevent people's ability to retweet or be tagged in certain things. So all of those things that you heard about that were like conspiracy theory, it's all true. Now, we see that. Now, the thing that I'm afraid of and I've been talking about for a while is now it looks like Twitter is the battleground. Now, Elon Musk said that he would rather go to prison than bow down to the government. He says that this is the most important battle of his life. And I really hope he holds his guns to that because that battle is coming right now. As a matter of fact, I've been talking about it looks like, you know, if the government wants to break them, they could break them. You know, the laws are so egregious, they could just basically get them for anything they want. And just last year, President Biden himself, out of his own mouth, in a recording, we have this, gave the federal agencies the green light to go after Elon Musk with everything they have. That was last year, and we've seen it. Now, since that's happened, we've seen the DOJ, the FAA, the FTC, the NLRB, the SDNY, FWS, and now the FCC. Basically, every government agency is now coming full guns blazing for Elon Musk. Now, he's so rich. He's this oligarch. He's like an American oligarch, and we can't control him because he doesn't care about us. But we could just basically drown him in lawsuits. We could bankrupt him through judgments. We could overwhelm his time by fighting these frivolous lawsuits, make him broke by hiring attorneys, and we could basically punish him until we break his will. Now, I'm going to break these down for you. I have the dates, I have the claims, and I have how these are being resolved. I have the receipts, and I'm going to show them to you. And this is the battleground, and you need to be aware of this because this is over Elon Musk trying to give Americans a platform to have free speech on. And the government is being weaponized. Now, what is that? 8 or 9 agencies under Biden's orders are coming after him to shut him down. I'm going to break all these down. I'm going to give you the dates, the names, everything. When I come back, I'm going to take a very quick break. Don't go away. I'll be right back. All right.
Recently, a new client called me and started by saying, "Mr. Morgan, I really need your help, but I'm just a nobody." Those words stunned me, and I immediately called him back. And we're now helping him and his family after a terrible accident. I'm John Morgan of Morgan & Morgan. Everybody who comes to our firm at their time of need is a somebody. I grew up poor, but my grandmother was like a queen to us. At Morgan & Morgan, our goal is to level the playing field for you and your family at your time of need. The insurance company has unlimited money and resources. You need a firm who can fight them toe-to-toe. For right at 30 years, we have fought them in courtrooms throughout America. Our results speak for themselves. And always remember this. Everybody is a somebody, and nobody is a nobody. Visit forthepeople.com to learn about our firm, Morgan & Morgan, for the people.
Injured? Visit forthepeople.com for an office near you.
Are you tired of your scented cleaning products smelling and cleaning like meh? Then it's time for an upgrade with the power of Clorox Scentiva. With an uplifting scent that smells like coconut, Clorox Scentiva gives you powerful clean like Clorox, but a feeling like being transported to a tropical island retreat. Imagine putting your phone on Do Not Disturb, tuning out all the constant, just the feeling of warm sand in between your toes and a fruity drink in your hand. The ones with the little umbrella. Refresh your home to feel like an all-inclusive vacation by getting Clorox Scentiva. Also available in grapefruit and lavender scents at a nearby retail store.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
Welcome back. If you just tune in, you're listening to The Mark Moss Show. We're talking about the digital Iron Curtain and how it is being erected right now, not unlike the Iron Curtain of whatever that was, 70, 80 years ago in the Soviet Union. Not unlike that, except for it's not a geography, it's an ideology, just like it was back then, and it is today. And I'm afraid that it will probably have the same disastrous effects, because when you restrict people's freedom and movement and competition, the same things are going to happen, right? Those who don't understand history are bound to repeat it. Or Einstein said that the definition of insanity is doing the same thing but expecting different results. If you do the same thing, you're going to get the same results. Okay, now, I'm talking about a lot of this that's happening right now, and just for people that are on different sides of the political aisle here, it's not political. George Bush, a Republican, took away massive, maybe the most amount of freedom under the Patriot Act. And now a Democrat, Biden, is trying to one-up him and take away even more. Biden himself, in a speech, told the government to go after Elon Musk with all guns blazing because Elon Musk is allowing people to have open speech and because he exposed him, right? Elon Musk gave all the records to the people. They don't like that. He allowed them to put, like, for example, the January 6th recordings up and things like that. So now the DOJ, the FAA, the FTC, the NLRB, the SDNY, FWS, and the FCC are all coming after him. Let's break these down. The DOJ, Department of Justice, August 2021, they opened an antitrust investigation into Tesla for an autopilot and a self-driving, and for the self-driving features. That's ongoing. Then December 2022, the DOJ, this is not like the automobile industry. This is the Department of Justice, is now subpoenaed Tesla over whistleblower claims alleging safety defects. Okay, again, the Department of Justice. We have the FAA came after the SpaceX. 11 SpaceX, they grounded 11 SpaceX Falcon 9 rockets due to concerns about potential engine failure. But, you know, the issue was resolved, flights resumed, but not without probably lots of time, effort, energy, and money to fight that. They came back October 2022. They launched another investigation, this time into Starlink satellites, about the potential for disrupting astronomical observations, and that's still ongoing. The FTC, they came after them. They opened an investigation into Tesla's use of what they call shadow profiling in targeted advertising. So now they're, you know, coming after them for their advertising strategies. Then they came after them again, and now they're probing tweets by Elon Musk about Tesla and taking Tesla private, violating security laws. But the investigation was closed without any action. So again, there was nothing there. They didn't find anything there. I'm sure they tried really hard. They couldn't find anything, but it still took a lot of time, effort, energy, and money. The NLRB, they filed complaints against Tesla for allegedly firing employees for union organizing. That's still ongoing. Then, just last month, a judge orders Tesla to reinstate a worker fired for criticizing Musk on Twitter. Decisions being appealed by Tesla. We saw in February of 2023, Securities and Exchange Commission, the SEC, filed a lawsuit against Musk for alleged market manipulation through tweets again. So now we have multiple agencies coming after Elon Musk for his tweets. The FWS issued a permit for SpaceX Starship launch from Texas, despite environmental concerns raised by local groups. Now the FCC is jumping in on this. We saw the FCC request Starlink data on potential interference with radio astronomical observations. That's still ongoing. And so we can just see how the state is doing anything and everything it can to seal off the exits, if you will. Now, what does this attack on Elon Musk have to do with anything? Well, the Iron Curtain, the digital Iron Curtain. We must divide. We must stop. What is the Iron Curtain? The Iron Curtain divided people, and it stopped the free flow of movement, information, and money, which money is information, communicates value. So they stopped the free flow of that information and divided people down ideological lines, and that's exactly what the digital Iron Curtain is doing. And again, the battlegrounds are mostly over the internet and specifically over social media platforms, which are the town squares, the water holes, if you will. And when Elon Musk, this richest man in the world, bought Twitter, it threw their entire plan of this digital Iron Curtain down the drain. And so if they want to continue to push this, they must take out that stronghold that Elon Musk has. They must beat him into submission. Some of these things, I likened it to, they filed a lawsuit against Starlink for wrongful hiring practices because they weren't hiring, or in their advertising for jobs, they weren't hiring illegal aliens. And Elon Musk is like, but I'm a military contractor and I put satellites into space. And it specifically says I can only work with American citizens and green card holders. And so they had to drop it. And I was sort of using this, it was sort of like the mob would like send somebody over to your mom's house. And the goal was just to say, hey, we know where your mom is and we can get to her if we want. And I think this lawsuit was sort of like a warning as well, which is like, hey, just to let you know, we're not going to do anything with this, but like, just to let you know, we could. Now, what are the societal and economic implications of this? Like I said, this is something that could really affect not just us today. This affects our kids. This affects our grandkids. This has massive implications for our society and the world. Right. And we can see, like I said, what happened in times past and what happened here. And we can see the exact same things could be setting back up. If we think about the increase of financial surveillance and the centralization of that, specifically, if we think about it in a way where they could like seize assets and address economic crisis, we can think back to the initial phases of socialism setting in. What do? They come in and they seize financial assets, right? The state has to control the means of production. Now, socialism always leads to violence every single time, 100% of the time. It doesn't lead to a more peaceful, prosperous society. It leads to a more violent society every single time, guaranteed. And here's why I can say that. In order for a socialist society, they have to control the means of production. But currently, the means of production are owned by private property holders, I own property. You own property. I have a business. You have a business. I don't want to give up my business or my private property to the state. I object. And so the state has to come in and force that. They have to take it under the threat of violence every single time. Now, some people are like, fine. I don't want my private property. I don't need my business. Go ahead, state, take it. But most people don't. Most farmers and most business owners are going to defend that with their life, which is why it leads to violence every single time. And so we're starting to see that picking up. And it leads to this modern form of repression where you can have this state-driven financial repression and these wealth confiscations like we saw under the Iron Curtain. But now in this metaphorical digital Iron Curtain, we can start to see the same thing setting up where they'll, under CBDCs or in the FedNow system, they can just confiscate your wealth. They can just block the free flow of information. And it leaves us as we the people, us as citizens, with little or no compensation. There's nothing we can do. Our money's in that system. Now, the exit is, of course, Bitcoin. The exit is setting up decentralized systems. That's our exit. If we can get our wealth out of their system, outside of the banking system, then they don't have the ability to centralize our wealth. Cryptocurrencies and Bitcoin specifically gives us the ability to counteract that. It gives us the ability to countermeasure what they're trying to do, which is why, back to Elizabeth Warren we talked about earlier, she is trying to pass a bill to outlaw this. Pass the Bitcoin ETFs. Sure, you can own Bitcoin in an ETF in a way that you don't ever get to control it outside of our system, but you cannot control it on your own. And this is the battle for the Iron Curtain that's shaping up right now. If you don't understand what is going on with your freedom, and not just your freedom is big, but your freedom to transact information and money, your kids and your grandkids are going to be affected by this. So learn about it. I'm going to continue to share it with you. Share it with others. Go discuss this. Research it. You don't like this part, I know. Reach out to your lawmakers and let them know how you feel and only vote for ones that you think will work in a positive way towards this. If you're just tuning in and listening to The Mark Maugh Show, we've been breaking down what I'm calling the digital Iron Curtain. Leave me a review if you're listening on your podcast. I'd greatly appreciate it. If you want to watch this, if you missed it, check it out on YouTube under Market Disruptors. And that's what I got. Thanks so much for listening.
Have you ever wondered what it would be like to have supervision, enhanced hearing, extraordinary reflexes, to be, dare we say, superhuman? Well, Roku's new Pro Series TV can't do any of that for you. But with a 4K screen, side-firing speakers, and a blazing fast refresh rate, it'll sure feel like it. Elevate your entertainment using all your favorite apps like iHeart and play all your music, radio, and podcasts with the new Roku Pro Series. Your senses aren't better. Your TV is.
We went from normal life, healthy child to acute lymphoblastic leukemia or B-cell ALL. The St. Jude team came up to get CJ via ambulance. Shortly after that, I noticed a rainbow. It meant that there was hope. We were driving into hope. To have hope is to have your child healthy, and we have that because of St. Jude.
You can help kids fight childhood cancer. Please become a St. Jude Partner in Hope today by visiting musicgives.org.
You wouldn't expect to hear that we're America's third best city for beer like this one. Or home to vibes like this. And this. It might surprise you that we're top 10 for immersive art that's like...
Whoa.
And... Not to mention, we have one of the top zoos in the country. So can a city with the country's best pro soccer team, ranking as a top culinary destination in the world, be in your own backyard? Yes, Columbus. Plan your summer at experiencecolumbus.com/summer.